times 7? I understand that in Matthew 18, Peter goes up to Jesus and he asks him, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or my sister?" And Peter answers before Jesus can and says, 7, right? But to my surprise, Jesus doesn't respond with 7. I'm already thinking 7 is a lot. 7 is even way more than I'd ever imagined forgiving a person. But Jesus combats Peter's response with 70 times 7. And as I looked at that number, I was just thinking, so you want me to be a doormat? So you want me to be passive? So you want me to pretty much go around singing kumbaya with people who I'm upset at? 70 times 7 is a lot. But then I thought of the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, a story in which a son goes to his father and disrespectfully, I might add, asks his father for his inheritance. Pretty much meaning, I want you to die. Because at that time, for you to ask your parent for the inheritance before they passed was the equivalent of you telling them, I want you to die. So here we have the son who talks to his father and tells his father, hey, I want my inheritance. And by the way, you can have a funeral now. Takes his inheritance, leaves, goes, parties, does anything that he wants because hey, he's not in his dad's house anymore. He's under his own rules. He has all of these new friends and all of this money. So why not just live it up? You only live once, right? So he takes all of his money and he lives it up until he finds himself at a place where he's broke. He has no more money. He has no more friends. And he's in a pig pen trying to feed pigs in order to survive. He doesn't even have enough money to care for himself. But at that moment, he strikes upon a brilliant idea. Why don't I go to my father and not ask to be a son, but instead ask to be a servant? Because hey, if his dad could bless his servants with all that they have, wouldn't he bless him too as a servant? So he decides to leave that pig pen and leave all the filth that it came with and to trek on home. And as he reaches the top of the hill, before he reaches his home, his dad sees him. And instead of being at the door with a scowl on his face, or instead of his dad yelling at him to never return again, his father runs to meet him, and he embraces him. And he even tells his servants, "Bring the robe, bring the ring, let's have a party, because my son has come home." That's a lot of forgiveness. Especially when you had a child who pretty much told you, I don't care if you die. But then we have the other son who comes in and he's saying, Father, but you've never done any of that for me and I have never turned against you. Father, you've never given me a robe. You've never given me a ring. And you've probably never embraced me like that. I've never disobeyed you. But yet, your wayward son who disobeys you, you willingly forgive him and bless him too. I think I could resonate more with the brother who's upset because the son didn't deserve that type of forgiveness. He didn't even deserve the inheritance. And it reminds me of a time when a friend and I had a falling out. And even though I felt that they were the one who wronged me, they were the one who hurt my feelings, and they were the one who didn't deserve a second chance. I still felt that I needed to forgive them. Not because they needed to know that they were forgiven, but because I needed to be free from that poison that was eating away at my heart. And I became so bitter to the point that I didn't even recognize myself. Why? Because I didn't forgive them. But I had to remember that forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a choice that means that even though this person may have done something incredibly unforgivable, you still have to forgive them. And forgiveness doesn't only just apply to another person. Forgiveness applies to yourself, and forgiveness applies to God. Because there may be an instance in which you are so frustrated with God. Why would you let me go through this situation? Why would you let me lose the person that I love? Why would you even let me lose everything that I had? Just to prove a point. Forgiveness is a choice. And it is a choice that starts off a long process. Because processes require you to make a decision. And processes don't happen overnight. You may have to choose to forgive a person, yourself, or even God after a day. And then on the second day, you may have to say, I forgive again. And even on the third month, you may have to keep saying, I choose to forgive. Until you can finally reach that day where you no longer feel that bitterness in your heart and you no longer feel that pain. But you can feel a sense of peace, and you can feel even a sense of, I need to reconcile with this person. Because forgiveness means that you have to confront how you're feeling. Because God lets us know in Colossians 3 verse 13, to bear our grievances with one another and to forgive as he forgave us. Now, forgiveness doesn't always mean you'll reconcile with the person. But it does mean that you can at least confront how you're feeling. So maybe you can reconcile one day. But I mean, who doesn't want to sleep well at night? Forgiveness will give you that. And who doesn't want to be at peace in big social settings with the person who wronged you? Forgiveness gives you that. And before you can go and be on your merry way, you have to search deep within your heart and ask, who do I need to forgive? Me? Someone else? God? Whoever it is, you should forgive. Not just for them, but for you. Because I mean, who doesn't want to sleep well at night? I know I do. Forgive.
I remember one morning, I was getting dressed, putting my shoes on, my shirt, my tie, my jacket. I was getting dressed to look good for this special morning. It was because I was going to be preaching. And so I wake up that morning, I get dressed, put my best clothes on, and I get into a friend of mine's car, and we're driving on the road. And about halfway through, I started to lose juice. Now, before that, things were going great. I mean, the music was going and we were laughing and joking. Things were just having a great time. We were just road warriors on this journey. And then things started to go wrong. I started to lose power in the car. So I'm pressing the gas, looking at the gauge, and no power's coming. And so we end up pulling to the side of the road and we're trying to start the car. Will it start? And it does not. So I call one of the elders and ask him, hey, can you pick me up? And he says, sure. Meantime, all I'm saying to myself is I'm going to be late. That's the only thing that's in my mind at that moment is that I'm going to be late. So a few moments later, he comes to the highway and he picks me up and we finish our journey there. And as we're driving, the only thing that's going through my mind is, I'm going to be late. And so we finally arrive at the church. They're well into their service. In fact, they were singing songs waiting for me to come. And at that very moment, as soon as I walk in, that guilt and shame comes in. These people had been waiting for me, and they're singing songs, hoping that I might come. And the only thing that came into mind, my only prayer at that moment, was, Lord, bear with me. Lord, be patient. I ended up preaching. Everything went well. The Lord blessed. But that experience of shame and guilt never left. In fact, even after service, we went on to have lunch and I didn't want to stay. In fact, all I wanted to do was go in a corner and cry because I had made them late. They had been waiting for me and I was late. Forgiveness is a hard thing. Now, there are two parts to forgiveness. There is forgiving others, and then there's forgiving yourself. I personally find forgiving myself harder than forgiving others. Maybe you're one of them. Maybe you're one of the individuals that is harder on yourself. As a matter of fact, I look back at all the times I was hurt, disappointed by others. I say to myself, man, if I never got close to them, they would have never hurt me. Or if I never became friends with them, they would have never hurt me. And so I find myself blaming me for the pains and hurts that I experience. Maybe you're someone that was hurt. Maybe someone disappointed you. And you're probably thinking about that individual right now, knowing their name, what they look like, and remembering the last time you saw them. And you might be experiencing a boil of hatred right now. As a matter of fact, sometimes we get so hurt that hatred boils into our hearts and souls, that we begin to hate this individual or hate this process or hate this system because they hurt us so much. Now, in Colossians, the Bible talks about bearing with one another. In fact, the word is more be patient with one another. It's actually saying that people will come into your life and they will disappoint you and they will hurt you. And so what God is saying, be patient with one another, forgive one another. Why is God asking you to do that? Why is he asking us to do that? I believe that God is asking us to do that because it's exactly what he does for us. I believe that Jesus goes before the Father and he says to him, be patient with them, bear with them, love them. In fact, he even go as far as to say, forgive them. So he then turns to us and he looks at us. The same thing that I do, I want you to do for one another. You see, sin has very little power in the presence of forgiveness. And so what God is asking us to do is that we can overcome our pains and hurts and disappointments with the power of forgiveness. Now, this is no easy task for many of you, because for many of us, we've been hurt so bad, we wouldn't dare think of forgiving that individual. First of all, they haven't even asked for forgiveness. Second, they might not even be aware that they've hurt you. Third, they don't deserve it. And last, I want revenge. I want this person to feel exactly what I feel. God then turns around and says, bear with one another. Be patient with one another. God wants us to forgive one another. And so our prayer today is simple. My prayer for you today is simple. That God give you the courage and strength to forgive one another. And that God begins to heal the wounds that were created by the hurts that were caused by others. That he might enter into your heart, into your soul, and begins to realign and reheal and create a spirit of reconciliation in your heart. That you might not just forgive, that you might be healed and made whole in this process. So I'll be praying for you. God bless.
Back in seventh grade, I met my best friend for the first time, and we hit it off really well. We started to do everything together. I met her family, she met mine. And when we got to high school, we ended up going separate paths. She went to one high school, I ended up going to another high school across the U.S. But we still stayed in contact. We would write letters to each other. At one point, she was international, and we still remained in contact and wrote letters to each other.
And we talked about college and what was the next phase for our life. So when we came to college, we were able to be together and enjoy and experience our friendship together. One thing I did notice, however, was that we had grown in different ways. We were growing in different directions. And as we went through our college experience, things started to change in our relationship. We weren't flowing in our relationship as well as before. And so when I was experiencing deep, deep sadness, is what I like to call it, that is when our relationship came to an end. So we sat down and we had a conversation and we were like, okay, well, this obviously isn't working for us. And I felt really frustrated and angry and hurt because this is the time that I'm going through a lot of pain and I'm experiencing a lot of hurt, and this is when I need you the most as my best friend, and this is when we're breaking up, and this is when we're going separate paths. So I have all of these feelings of frustration, pain, and hurt. And so I told myself, okay, Ev, you have to be the bigger person. You have to forgive and you have to move on because you have things to do and, you know, forgive and forget kind of thing. And so in my brain and in my heart, I felt that I had forgiven her. The thing was, looking back at it now, I don't think I had truly forgiven her because all of the pain and frustration I deflected to God. And so I may not be mad at her or feeling angry or frustrated or being passive aggressive when I'm around her or with her, but I am doing all of these things towards God. So I'm in a space where I'm being cordial with God. So I don't want to be not in your space, but I also don't want to be in your space either. I'm doing the bare minimum to maintain some type of connection with you, but I don't want a deep connection with you because why did you let this happen? Why did you allow me to go through this pain? You know how much I value relationships and friendships and how seriously I take that. Why would you do this to me? Why would you create me to care so much about something that at the end is not even going to work out? Colossians 3:13 talks about forgiveness and bearing with each other, and if we have grievances, forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. And I think in order to do that effectively, we need to sit down and have conversations so that we can better understand what are the grievances we have towards each other, and so that we're not holding on to assumptions, but we're truly understanding the nature of the issue that we're facing at hand. Looking back at my experience with my best friend, we were able to conclude that, yes, this is not something that we need or that we should have in our lives. We don't need to be as close as we would like to imagine. So we are holding on to the concept of best friendship and wanting that to work when this was not the path for us to take. So in terms of forgiveness, I feel like something that we wrestle with is the idea of letting go. Forgive doesn't mean you hold on to something and you make it work. Forgiveness can sometimes mean you let go, and you let go with a peace in your heart and with an understanding that it's going to be okay. Forgiveness allows us to give away our frustration and our pain. And looking back to the story, when I see my friend, I don't feel pain, I don't feel frustrated, I don't hold any grudges because I'm no longer burdened by the pain and the frustrations and the confusion that I was carrying on my back. I'm no longer carrying that or deflecting that to God either. He's carrying it for me. So allow Jesus to carry those burdens for you.